Are we ready? Mets are going to try to close out the Milwaukee Brewers and advance to the National League Divisional Series. Yankee fans have their feet up, but they're watching because the American League games are going on, and I think there's a rooting interest in both of which. Obviously, the one between Baltimore and Kansas City is going to dictate who you play in the next round. The Astros, I think some Yankee fans are rooting against the Astros because they hate them. I think there are some Yankee fans who want the Astros to win so they can go through them. I've heard that from a few people.
True. Detroit's interesting, though, because they shouldn't be this good, but they're scrappy.
Yeah.
And they just find a way, especially in the last half of, or whatever, 2 months or 2 weeks of the season.
They've been incredible, man. They were forgotten about to the point where everyone assumed they were going to trade their ace, Tarik Skubal, and here they are trying to knock out the Houston Astros. I think the Yankees, who are they've been very quiet with the Yankees recently because they're not playing. And I also understand how that's a concern that they're not playing. I'll tell you right after the Cinco, the mistake Boone is making and how to fix the not playing issue. But first, it is 5:03.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere. As we get ready for a new acquisition for the Jets, I'm going to give you the top five Adams in New York.
The top five Adams.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Number five.
Adam Richman. Brooklyn born and raised, Man versus Food, Elite Show.
Ah, it's a good one.
Evan's never heard of Adam Richman.
I don't know who Adam Richman is.
You got to watch something else besides Scooby-Doo, the Mets, and whatever the
world is. I watched the VP debate last night. I'm a loser. Half of it. I watched some post-game reaction, which I usually don't do, but I did. I also watched a documentary on Monica Lewinsky. So
wow,
trust me.
You did it all last night.
I'm all over the place, baby.
Okay.
Which one inspired you most?
God.
Oh, that's a shame. Astros are no longer in this game. Okay, here we go.
We'll provide a full update.
Okay. Number four.
All right, here we go. There was a double, I believe, for the Tigers that scored two runs to break a 2-2 tie in the eighth inning.
A bases-clearing double off of Josh Hader.
Triple.
Triple. A bases-clearing triple in the bottom of the eighth inning off the bat of Andy Ibanez has given the Detroit Tigers a 5-2 lead. Yeah. They are six outs away from sending the Astros, who have been in every ALCS since 2017. Haven't missed one.
Right.
They are six outs away from sending them home.
By the way, was that his first batter, first pitch?
No, he walked the first batter he faced.
Thank God they spent all that money on Hader that Evan wanted the Yankees.
Let's see how your bullpen all does before you touch
it. All right, we're up to number four. Number four in the top five Adams in New York.
Yes.
Tony Adams, part of the 2024 Jets defense starting safety. All right, here we go.
Number three.
Adam Fox might be the next Adam in New York to win a championship.
I'm surprised you didn't put him number one.
Well, there's more Adams to deal with.
I'm just a little surprised.
I know one Adam is not making it.
And here we go.
Number two.
Adam Graves, never left New York, 94 champion.
My first hockey game.
So at this point, Adam.
From Adam Graves.
Yeah.
At this point, Adam Pellick is not making it.
New.
Of the New York Islanders.
Nope. Okay. Heart and soul guy.
Adam Ottavino not making it.
No. Eric Adams not making it. Here we go.
Number one.
It's got to be Adam Sandler. All the New York ties he has. Great actor. Everything. The Sandman is up there. Can Devante Adams crack this list if and when he gets here? Good luck, Jet fans. Enjoy James Harden. That's your Cinco de Fivo.
What? Are you okay with that comparison? He's basically saying that Devontae Adams is going to force his way to the Jets the way James Harden did.
Big athlete, crying his way out, forcing his way to a team that, you know, basically is a super team with a former teammate he had. I don't know. A lot of correlation.
I just think, I mean,
life is repeating itself.
He seems like a nicer guy. Let's put it that way.
Well, not everything's a perfect comp.
I also think Devontae Adams is probably, you know, not fattening himself up to work his way out of a team.
And
also,
he's going to be in elite shape when and if he gets here.
And James Harden, like, had a long history with the Houston Rockets. He wasn't drafted there, but he was traded there and became a star there, really. Devontae Adams and the Raiders, like, what the hell's the connection?
Again, I'm not saying it's a perfect comp, Ev. I'm just looking at the Nets and Jets. I've lived the life. You lived the life. Sean, you're living it again.
Sean, that's fine. I am living the life.
They did him wrong, by the way.
Devontae Adams by trading Derek Carr?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree with you.
That's why he went there.
They cut Derek Carr,
right.
Yeah, they even trade him.
They trade him.
I understand that the Jets are doing a lot of things like the Brooklyn Nets. As a fan of both, I raise my hand and admit, wow, art imitating life. This is crazy. Or life imitating life. You love football, Sean.
I do.
I want you to do something that's very difficult for you to do. I do it very well. Tiki does it better than anybody.
Diet properly?
I want you to be an IFO for 1 second.
An IFO.
Okay? You're an IFO. You're an independent football observer.
Uh-huh.
Do you think the New York Jets should trade for Davante Adams?
I do. And I also thought the Nets should trade for James Harden.
Okay.
When you get so far down a road, I think you should.
Okay. That's not even... I get your point. By the way, we're in agreement.
All right.
If we're in agreement... And you agree the Jets should trade for Davante Adams, what are you mocking them for? You think they should do it.
I'll tell you why.
Like it's a tactic because you're afraid that it's going to help and work.
No.
By the way, I think it will help a little bit. What are you criticizing them for?
Because, and this is in any society, the more you add to a hierarchy, and then when the crash and burn happens, which I do think it will happen, there is a little bit of comic relief at the end.
It's the old Washington model, back when they were always trying to buy the championship.
Right.
And bring in Bruce Smith and then Deion Sanders.
Yeah, Albert Haynesworth.
Albert Haynesworth, which was probably the worst one because he didn't. Yeah. He never produced for them. But maybe it works.
Right.
It very rarely ever does.
Right. And then the more cookies out of that cabinet for the Jets, the more that rebuild when they need to do it is going to be harder to do.
Really think giving up a second round pick next year, which I'm not trying to minimize.
It's the new contract.
By the way, Joe Douglas shouldn't worry about that. Sal shouldn't worry about that. And you should try to get every piece possible to try for Aaron. There's no doubt about it. I'm just saying.
I still don't understand.
The last time this worked was the Rams. Rams did this effectively, but they were committed to it for like 4 years.
And the Rams already had a foundation, at least went to a Super Bowl before they added
the Rams piece. Also have a head coach that knows what the hell he's doing. Because I think one of the concerns about Robert Saleh, and look, you could argue I'm wrong, Robert Saleh is going to prove to be a great head coach. My counter is he hasn't proven it yet. So if he's going to become something I haven't seen yet or none of us have seen yet, then you're just predicting the future. And I hope you're right. But we have no evidence so far. We did with Sean McVay. We do with a lot of guys, that Robert Saleh is the answer as the head coach of this team. We don't know that. We have no evidence of that.
And the only way to mask that if he's not the right head coach is to get as much talent as possible, which Davante
Adams. So then you agree that the Jets should pursue Davante Adams. Get the hell out of here.
Can't two things be true, dude?
Kind of, but not really.
I think you just know I'm right.
Well, let's see if you think I'm right. So the Yankees are getting set to open up the American League Divisional Series on Saturday. Mm-hmm. They will either face the Royals or the Baltimore Orioles. And their rotation, I don't think, is greatly impacted on who the opponent is. Currently, the Kansas City Royals are up 1-0 on the Baltimore Orioles in their best of three, and they also are up 1-0 in game two. So the Royals, who knows? Maybe the Orioles never score a run, and the Royals are on their way to the ALDS. Aaron Boone hasn't confirmed much, but here's what we know. We know that Gerrit Cole is starting game one.
Yes.
We all agree. We also now know that Carlos Rodon is starting game two. Mm-hmm. Carlos Rodon is starting game two.
Rodon.
I have a mental block against this. Rodon.
And that game's on a Monday, so get that last name right.
That game is on a Monday. It's on a Monday night. Start times have already been announced. 6:38 on a Saturday night for game one. 7:38, I think, for game two on Monday. I have said this to you for a month and a half. Because of the quirks in the ALDS schedule, you can pitch the guy who pitched in game one on regular rest in game four, which I think you'll do no matter what. Whether the Yankees are up 2-1 or down 2-1, why wouldn't you pitch a race?
Of course.
That means that when you make a decision to start somebody in game two, you're not just deciding they're starting game two, you're deciding they're starting game five, a winner-take-all game. Gerrit Cole is clearly their ace.
Right.
I will say it loud. I will say it proud. I get that Carlos has pitched well. I do not trust Carlos Rodon to pitch game five of the ALDS, and I think Aaron Boone is making a mistake.
Well, this is what
I wouldn't do it.
This is what Rodon is paid to do, but I can't help but agree with you.
Thank you.
Especially with this season that Luis Gil has had.
Luis Gil has not been great in his last couple of starts, but I think we also need to be careful in overanalyzing the last few or one appearances.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Schmitty, Rodon, and Gil have all pitched on a solid level, okay?
Yeah.
I don't think there's a great result difference. I'm just telling you, feel for the moment. And I have said this to you guys for months. I wouldn't trust this guy as far as I can throw. If this gets to a game five at Yankee Stadium against, it doesn't matter, the Royals, it doesn't matter. You really think that's the guy you want to go with?
I mean, he's the guy who's paid to be that guy.
That's it. bang.
No, that's right. Not it.
That's, but that's the problem with the Yankees, what Tiki just said.
Oh, okay, fine. Go ahead, continue.
That is the problem. You could say that Rodon has not been all awful, and I heard, you know, Michael Kay made this point over the weekend. You know, if you really take away those five bad starts, you can't take them away. They exist, and that's why you don't trust them in the playoffs. I trust Clark Schmidt and Luis Gil more. The Yankees should more, and I think if everybody was paid an equal amount of money of those three guys, those would be the two starting. I think the tiebreaker for why Carlos Rodon has been announced as the Game 2 starter is because he's signed to the big deal. This is his first chance to pitch like this, and they're using money as a tiebreaker, not using the right guy, and I think that's bull.
And by the way, how do we also not know, how do we know that they don't go four-man?
Because, okay, so it's an interesting option. Okay, because you could conservatively say, I'm going to hold Gerrit Cole off to game five if we're up 2-1.
Yes.
You could do that. I would almost start considering that because I don't want to be in a position with my season coming down to Carlos.
I think that's what the plan would be.
Even though that means Cole on extra rest.
Yeah.
Not pitching on his normal day.
He's a vet. He's been around the game for a long time. He's been in these postseason situations often. So the last thing I'm worried about with Gerrit Cole is disrupting his rest.
Mm.
So if they're up 2-1.
If they're up 2-1, not if they're down
2-1. No, yeah. If they're down 2-1, he's got to play.
Got to pitch.
You're potentially in elimination mode.
Tiki just excited me so greatly.
Right. If you think that's the plan?
If they're up 2-1, Clark Schmidt, hey, bro, go win it. Take us to the next round.
And you gain two things by that strategy. Okay. Number one, if you close him out, Gerrit Cole's ready to go for game one of the ALCS. Right. The other strategy is if it doesn't work out, you're going to an elimination game with a guy that you're going to trust 50 times more than anybody else.
Agreed.
Yeah. And maybe that. Now, look, they're using the excuse Schmidt or Heel could be available out of the bullpen in game one. That's what they'll decide. And maybe they are, and maybe there's three different avenues on the table, but they also may be doing this, like Tiki said, hold out on the game three starter because they don't want to create a distraction. And maybe they also want to see how Rodon performs in game two.
Also, if you use Clark Schmidt in game one out of the bullpen Saturday night, and he gets six outs, seven outs, whatever it is, he would still be on regular rest to start game four.
God, this series is going to take forever.
Well, it's a long-winded series. And I remember when the schedule first came out, I brought it up. I know it was kind of tough to envision because we were talking about it in August, but I said, guys.
That's interesting to think about that.
That you can use Clark Schmidt or Heel.
Right, or Heel, whatever. He pitches two innings, whatever it is, six outs. He can still start game four.
And you know what? I like Tiki's idea. I think I'm with Tiki on his idea. Even if I'm up 2-1, as much as going for the kill is nice, I do not want to be in a spot, if I'm the New York Yankees, where my season is on the line in a winner-take-all game five, and I got to pitch Carlos Rodon. I can't do it.
That's Kevin Brown curled up in a utility closet.
That's a great comparison. Yeah, I think you solved it. I think that's exactly what I would do. Well, these are issues that the Mets hope they have, because that would mean the divisional series, which for the Mets would begin on Saturday as well. But before they could think about a Saturday division series against the Phillies, they need one more win against the Brewers. And I said this at the top of the show. You could rewind on the Odyssey app. They need to take advantage of a team that's already down, a team that's already been pressing, a team that lost two straight in the wild card series a year ago against the Diamondbacks. You saw a Brewer team last night that was pressing once the Mets took that 8-4 lead. They did not get a base runner after that. Severino, Budo, followed by Stanek. I think it is really important to take the life out of the Milwaukee Brewers immediately. If you give them life and they win this game tonight, tomorrow's a toss-up. That's what it becomes. You could take a coin. You could flip it in the air. The Mets could win. The Mets could lose. Who the hell knows? That's why tonight is so important to seal the deal. Let's go to Alex in Norwalk, Connecticut. What's up, Alex?
Yes, hi. I want to make a comment about the Mets.
Yes.
And the comment is like this. They put us through the season where we started with despair feeling. And now it's so high up. Mm-hmm. They gave us really good emotional ride at the end of the season. Not only because they went to the playoff, it's the fashion they won the last game with us when they needed to win. So it was really, really exciting. And you can talk to Mets fans now. They so high up in the sky. They can't be professional anymore.
Oh, they're just excited, Alex.
That's all we are.
It's excitement.
There's a difference between just being excited, raw animalistic excitement, and being cocky.
Yes.
I am not cocky. Maybe Loogie is. That's up to your interpretation. His positivity, cockiness, that's up to the individual. But I think most Met fans aren't necessarily cocky. I think most Met fans are just like, oh, my God, is this really happening?
Yeah. And you're right there. It's right there for the taking. And so why not?
Why not?
Why not us?
I was going to say I want to pinch myself, but the reason I don't want to use that phrase is because after the Jets destroyed the New England Patriots about a couple of weeks ago, I said the same thing. Oh, my God, pinch myself. We have a quarterback. And then guess what happened? It all came crashing down a week later. So I don't want to pinch myself because that would mean reality is going to sink in. And right now, if you're a Met fan, you want nothing to do with reality. You just want this to continue. Mike in South Bound Brook, New Jersey. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, man. What's up?
These Mets, they continue to blow my mind, okay?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable what they've done.
Yeah.
I mean, and tonight, Amaya, he's going to be awesome. Pete's going to break out, and we're going to win 7-1.
Is this, I do have to ask a question to Tiki. Is this weird to hear Met fans talking like this? It's a very confident group of people right now.
It's there's no negativity. this is an odd day because
you're not used to this.
I'm not. And maybe it's because of the fashion in which they won last night, where it was tight, and then all of a sudden they blew the game open.
Right.
And so we're worried about Luis Severino all day until even into the first few innings.
Yeah.
The next thing you know, it's like, all right, this offense is pretty damn good.
Yeah.
So there's just a confidence. It's a non-negativity that's pretty awesome.
It's weird. Don't get used to it, though, because if they lose tonight, the negativity will be back tomorrow.
It's what I was preaching at you as the Mets were on the verge of winning game one against the Braves on Monday.
Yeah.
Think positive.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for the negativity to seep in. We're getting closer. 2 hours away or so? Hours away from game day? You haven't started to do your book yet? I haven't seen.
Oh, I have. I got the Met lineup in my book. What are you talking about?
I must have been out of the room.
I got the Met lineup.
Whatever it is, it didn't result in negative Evan coming out.
I do want to warn you, and this is not negativity. This is informing our audience something that's very important because we won't get to communicate with you unless we're talking via social media or Rico Bronya podcast. There is a scenario where the Mets play a winner-take-all game 3 in the middle of our show tomorrow.
Oh, another watch party.
So we will have, maybe not to the same extent, but we will have a watch party. We want to remind you that you can watch the Met game while also listening to us.
Just make sure Abuelo makes some more dang quesadillas.
Are you demanding more quesadillas?
I might be.
Wow.
He's a Giants fan, right?
He is a New York Football Giants fan. He's a big fan of Tiki Barber.
Do it for the fellow Giant.
That's all I have to say, and I'll actually do it. So I hope this scenario doesn't emerge. I hope the Mets win tonight. But if we are on the radio, because there's a scenario, and I'm not going to bore you with how.
Right.
I mean, it's just there's a lot going on. But if the Mets play the Brewers in a winner-take-all game 3, it could be a 4 o'clock game, it could be a 3 o'clock game, Tiki's going to have to deal with it all over again. Probably even more so.
It's going to be worse because it's elimination from the postseason.
Yes.
Not even just getting to the postseason.
Well, and also, as much as I hated hearing it, in that doubleheader watch party we had Monday, if they lost game 1, they had another chance.
Yes.
If they lose tomorrow during our show, that's it.
Right.
Death of a season live on the radio. God, that sounds so depressing.
Yeah, why even speak it into existence?
Because I just want people to know.
Just go to break so the negative Evan doesn't come out right now.
Negative Evan's coming back.
Listen to Luke. Follow your leader.
I believe in positive Tommy.
I do. We will come back with your Met calls. Met fans are very excited. We'll check in on the Met lineup and see if Mendy made any changes and get you set for what is going to be a very exciting night that we'll never forget. Ding dong. Ding dong. The witch is dead. The Houston Astros, the American League team that has been to every ALCS since 2017, have been eliminated by the upstart, you can't stop them, red hot, they're on fire, Detroit Tigers!
Can we get a tiger roar, Evan?
That sounds strikingly similar to the Panther roar.
Well, now I'm doing it.
So you're pumped up the Astros again?
It's so nice when a team that can no longer cheat goes out there at home in front of fans with their big ticket closer after they tie a game and lose to a bunch of no-names. And it's also so nice being right. You know, I'm so wrong so often on this show.
What were you right about?
I told you all year, Joe has spotted his Astros. We're not the same Astros, and they were a non-factor in the American League.
Which is
and
why
we were not
scared of them.
Yes. Right. Period. Well,
the problem is the Royals are about to beat the, not really about to, but whatever. They're up one game and up 1-0 against the Baltimore Orioles. So it could be neither one of those teams that we were talking about.
The argument that we had, for anyone who missed it, is I said to Sean and Tiki, I think that the Astros scare you and the Orioles shouldn't scare you. And so it became like a Oriole Astro, who would you rather face kind of thing. And that didn't mean the Astros were going to get there. So, like, I think you're taking this as, I guaranteed they were going to get there. I didn't know if they were going to get there. It's baseball. But what I said is, if they do get there, you'd be afraid of them.
And I told you we wouldn't. And I also said, I don't think we're seeing that series because these Astros are not as good. And I told you that all year.
And so now, and I don't think this matters.
I give Sean credit. He did say that.
He did? Okay.
Not worried about them because they're not that same team.
I'll give you that. I'll give you the fact that you thought they were going to get knocked out. I thought the Tigers were going to want to run. Do I get some credit for that?
Sure. Let's see them go on a run.
Well, they are. They just want
to
run.
We'll bring the kitty cats to the Bronx in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm sure you would. I think that it doesn't matter who you go through. You got to win a world championship. But I don't think there's any doubt in anyone's mind, if you're being fair, the New York Yankees road to the World Series just got easier. Am I lying?
I mean, I don't know about that.
Depends on how good the Detroit Tigers are.
The Tigers might be the best starter left in the American League.
Okay, the Detroit Tigers deserve a lot of credit for what they accomplished. This is a team in the postseason for the first time in a decade. The Houston Astros were a battle-tested champion, and they got knocked out. The Yankees' road to a championship just got a little bit easier. Doesn't guarantee anything.
I disagree.
Well, it got easier on paper.
Yeah.
It got easier on preseason speculation of what a team is supposed to be, but in the postseason, does any of that matter?
So,
especially for a team as hot as the Detroit Tigers?
So you're right and wrong at the same time, in my opinion. You're right in that it doesn't matter once you get to the playoffs, but the Houston Astros were the best team in the American League in the second half of the year. Let's not dismiss how well they were playing.
Was it who they were playing?
What does that mean? That doesn't matter.
Of course it does. If you're the best team and you have one of the softest schedules in baseball, now I don't know if that's actually true.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true either.
I'm going to go look. But
All I know is that...
This is horse crap from Evan.
Why are you yelling at me?
This is absolute horse crap. Because when I brought up the Yankees head-to-head with the Astros, your quote, don't move the goalposts, the regular season doesn't matter.
Yeah, there's a big difference between a series that featured seven games versus a team.
You said the regular season didn't matter. Now you're using the Astros' second half of the regular season to pay the case.
No, I'm saying that they were playing great, the Astros.
Right.
Maybe in smaller sample sizes they weren't.
Lost the series to Seattle.
See, smaller sample sizes. Go ahead.
Okay, they beat the Angels.
In the second half of the year, they had the best record in the American League.
Okay, whatever. They lost the
series.
They lost the series to the Padres.
Right.
Oh, they beat the Angels again. They're going backwards now.
Okay.
They lost the series to the Oakland Athletics.
That doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The hell are you talking about?
None of it matters.
They
Astros are
gone now. Out of Dodge.
Okay.
They beat the Diamondbacks.
Oh.
And they lost the series to the Cincinnati Reds.
They beat the Red Hot Mets. Remember that?
Yeah.
Right. Remember that happening.
So their September left some things to be desired.
I understand that.
I'm just telling you.
All I'm saying is, and I think every Yankee fan would agree with me on this, with the Houston Astros out of the way and potentially the Orioles. They're losing 1-0. It's early. We'll see what happens. Seth Lugo on the mound. But if this American League comes down to the Yankees and three teams from the AL Central, it would be a disaster if you're not in the World Series.
Evan, I go back even into August. Their most impressive series win was against the Kansas City Royals, where they swept a series of four.
Right.
Other than that,
pretty impressive.
Not really. They lost to the Phillies. They lost to the Orioles. They lost to Boston. I'm talking about series now. They beat the Chicago White Sox, whatever. They beat Tampa Bay, whatever. They beat Boston, whatever. They beat Texas, whatever. They lost to the Tampa Rays at the beginning. They actually were not that great.
And they had the best second half in a baseball where nobody got close to 100 wins, at least in the American
League. But guys, all I'm saying is that the Astros, based on the pedigree that they had, was the team that would be
right.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying.
But they weren't as good as they seemed to be.
They weren't.
I think that's the point. They didn't, I mean, they got to 90 wins, but I mean, it got to 88 wins, but it's not like they were, I don't know, a 100-win team.
I think the Houston Astros, at least on paper, were a bigger threat than any team from the American League Central, but it's irrelevant now. They're all gone. But was that statement I said before that inaccurate? True, if this comes down to the Yankees and three American League Central teams, it is a disaster if you're not in the World Series?
Two things are true. Number one, it's lazy analysis to say the Astros were the biggest threat. If you believe in goblins and ghouls and ghosts, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
However, that being said, the Tigers should scare you. Seth Lugo's been great. The Royals should scare you. Anytime, this should scare you. But for the Aaron Judge, Gerrit Cole Yankees, let's eliminate Juan Soto.
You're going to agree with me. Go ahead.
This is the path of least resistance.
Of course. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying.
But it was the path before 2 minutes ago when the Astros got
eliminated. Fine. It doesn't even matter. Baseball's crazy. We all know that.
Because you were trying to paint the Astros as the blocking.
I think they were the roadblock. Yeah, I think they were the biggest threat. And just because they lost doesn't mean they weren't. The Braves were the biggest threat to the Mets in 2000. They got knocked down the divisional series. It happens. That's sometimes good luck. I take the good luck. I won't feel bad about good luck. And now you're looking at having to get through the Royals or the Orioles. Orioles aren't dead yet. And then Cleveland or Detroit. Like, if the Yankees aren't in the World Series, I can't imagine how any Yankee fan wouldn't be beyond devastated by that. This is the roadmap to a World Series. So go do it now. And I think they will, by the way.
And the question is, who do we see when we get there?
Okay, fine. I'm not even bringing that part up because I think the Dodgers, the Phillies, you want to say the Mets. I get all that. I'm talking about the American League right now. And you'd agree. You better beat any of these teams you face.
I'll be screaming and yelling. I'm just saying, I think the Tigers would have and did pose a bigger threat to the Yankees and the Astros.
That's it's funny. I thought Detroit was going to beat Baltimore when I thought Detroit was going to play Baltimore. And then it didn't happen. And obviously the bracket's all messed up. Either way, for the Yankee fan out there, you know on the other side of the AL bracket, it will be the Cleveland Guardians against the Detroit Tigers in the American League Divisional Series. You guys are waiting on the Baltimore-Kansas City result. As of right now, Royals up 1-0 in the series, Royals up 1-0 in the game. Seth Lugo on the mound. So we'll see if by the end of the night, you know your opponent for the American League Divisional Series Saturday night at Yankee Stadium. Zach in Massapequa. What's up, Zach?
I mean, what a win last night. After you know, the first hour and a half of the game, I mean, there was no stress. I didn't feel like I was watching the Mets.
When did you stop feeling the stress? Because when they went up 8-4, I still had concern about Seve holding on. So when did you start to go stress-free?
Now, once we got to the eighth inning and they were cruising, I mean, I felt like, you know, I honestly thought they were going to send Buddha out for the ninth.
Me too.
So, you know, and to be honest, I wish they kind of did so that we would have Stanek for today. Mm. And that leads to my next point. So I'm a little bit concerned about tonight just because of our bullpen situation. I don't think Diaz is available. We're probably not going to see Stanek. So that leaves us with Maton, right? So it's not that I don't trust Maton. He is in my circle of trust. But at the end of the day, he's not your first or second option. And, you know, now it's a little, you know, we got to score runs tonight. We got to, like you said earlier on the show, you know, we cannot give the Brewers any sign of life here. We got to snuff them out while they're down.
Yes, yes.
And we got to score runs. If we put up, you know, 6 runs tonight, I think it'll get it done.
There is no excuse not to put runs on the board against Frankie Montas. No excuse. They also used one of their high-leverage relievers yesterday in Joel Piamps. The Mets did a great job against him. Mets are going to have to score some runs. I'll disagree with one thing you said. Ryan Stanek will be available just because he pitched last night. He'll be available out of the bullpen. I think with Maton and Diaz, here are the concerns. I think they'll both be available in certain situations tonight, but if either one pitches, I don't know if they'll be available tomorrow.
If needed.
If need be.
Well, I think if Edwin Diaz is pitching at all, it has to be a close this thing out, win the series for us.
Absolutely.
It can't be like we saw in the Braves series where, all right, we need to, we're getting the best of their lineup coming in the eighth inning, get us 5 outs.
There's only way you can do that, and I'm a big fan of this, and Mendy's open to it, is if he comes in to get big outs in the eighth inning and then he's out. And someone else is closing the
game. He's not staying in the game.
Yeah, I would be surprised if Edwin
Why would you do that?
Because sometimes the biggest out in a baseball game isn't in the ninth inning. So I'll give you a situation. I'll give you a perfect example to explain where this could come up. Bases loaded, 2 outs. Willie Adames is up. Mets are up by a run, eighth inning.
Oh, I see.
I go to Edwin Diaz. And my decision is, this is it. He gets him out.
Yeah.
Thank you. You faced your one batter. You saved our game temporarily, and we'll let Phil Maton close the game out. Nice. Obviously, if things go bad, well, he's got to face his three batters. But that would be the way I would use him a little bit earlier. So I think everyone's available outside of Buddha. I just think if you use Diaz and Maton and then you have to play tomorrow, Maton will have pitched then 4 out of 5 days. Diaz would have pitched 3 out of 4 days with a ton of pitches coming in his first two games. So I think that's where you got to keep an eye on bullpen usage. And hopefully Sean Manaea goes deep into the game. Look, we saw this last night in the Met-Brewer game. Sometimes it benefits you to have to push your starting pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
The Brewers did the opposite. We all saw what happened. Eric in Bayside, Queens. What's up, Eric?
Hey, how's it going? Just relishing the Tiger victory. And I got to tell you, I'm a firm believer in karma.
Yes.
Did you notice that the Astros comeback happened when ABC's audio feed had technical difficulties?
We didn't notice it only because we're not listening.
Yeah.
We're watching the game while doing a show, but I did not know that. Good to know.
And as soon as the Tigers got their audio feedback from Michael Kay and we heard Michael Kay and the Todd Father perfectly, that's when the Tigers came back and won it.
How about that?
Just wanted to point that out.
Look at that. It's like an omen from the skies. I think it comes down to this. The Houston Astros, over two games against the Tigers, did not hit. They scored 3 runs, and their bullpen, especially their high-end guys, Ryan Pressly, Josh Hader, supposed to be the top guys, they imploded and didn't pitch well.
I wonder how locally the Houston Astros fan base that was watching on television felt about Michael Kay calling that game.
Not happy about it.
I was going to say.
Not happy about it.
Not happy campers down in Houston.
And I'll defend Michael on this because I didn't hear any of the broadcasts.
Yeah.
And I don't think Michael Kay does a bad job when he broadcasts baseball games. Remember, he did the Met London game and actually had one of the bigger calls of the season, the Luis Torrens double play. I think, unfortunately for him, he's screwed because he's the Yankee announcer.
Right.
So if you broadcast the Astros, the Red Sox, or the Mets, every single person in the audience, fair or not, doesn't even matter, they hate you. They think you hate that team.
Yep.
And it would work if Gary Cohn was doing a Yankee game. If Gary Cohn all of a sudden said, you know what? I'm a future Hall of Famer. I'm going to do National Baseball. And he was calling a Yankee Royal playoff game. Sean over there would lose it. Oh, God, what a hater.
But the problem is he legitimately is a hater, so that's a little different.
Well, I don't know what Michael Kay believes in his heart. Maybe he hates the Mets.
I have no idea. The difference is, and we love Gary. Gary has shown his hatred and hasn't hit it.
In fairness.
Specifically for the stadium.
Okay. So Sean is sort of right. Like, if you ask me, do I think Gary Cohn hates the New York Yankees? Right. The answer is yes. But I don't think Gary's ever said that. I don't think he's ever announced it. Like, ladies and gentlemen, I hate the Yankees. Now, did he wave goodbye to Yankee fans when Dave Malicki walked into his building or their building and wrote on the wall? That was Gary's call. And threw this incredible shutout? He may have done that.
Yeah, I mean, every time there's a home run at a Subway Series game, there's a knock on the stadium. Every single one.
Well, that's just not like in the stadium.
It could be launched 700 feet, and you go, oh, Little League Park.
Here. That's just knocking the stadium. That's not good evidence. That's just knocking the stadium.
Well, if it was Cubs Stadium, and that was the name on it,
Stadium?
Wrigley.
I know there's a
it's
Wrigley.
It's called Wrigley Field,
You're
Sean.
Missing the comp, you moron. If the Cubs played at Yankee Stadium, it was cold Cubs, he would not be knocking it like that. It's a Yankee thing.
Here's the point. When you are closely associated...
I should have called you moron, too, by the way. Sorry.
It's okay. When you are closely associated with a team, it doesn't matter. It's like, to a lesser extent, you would have dealt with... Well, you did deal with it. When the Jets do the Giant game, you're going to have Jet fans saying, well, he's a Giant. Of course he hates the Jets. Meanwhile, he has late-night phone conversations with Nate Hackett. Where they talk about, like, you know, love and life, and politics.
No politics.
No politics?
No politics.
Do you know, like, his political opinions?
Very few people I talk politics with.
Yeah, me too. I stopped that.
Very. You're probably one of the few.
Yeah, we talk about it. Because Tiki and I can look at politics, like, from a 50,000 feet view and 30, not get, like, all personally offended by everything.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Nothing you say is personal.
Right.
Most people get offended when you talk politics.
Oh, I know, man.
So it's just hard to do it.
It's crazy. Like, back in the day, like, my pickup line would be, what do you think of that Iraq war? Like, we would just break that crap down. Oh, nowadays, geez. Oh, my God. I can't even.
You got good payoff on that pickup line?
I know, right? Was she like, well, my uncle.
Put it this way. One time, I shouldn't say this. You know, one time, big argument, debating the merits of the war.
Mm.
Hooked up that night anyway.
Of course.
Is that so?
Nah, just made the whole story.
Yeah, because why, if you're that close to getting laid, would you ever bring up, I don't know, a war? Wouldn't you just talk about anything else other than...
First of all, he's trying to bring out the fieriness in her.
And also, that was the thing that, that was a huge story.
Get her distracted.
That was a huge story. You're on a date, everybody, bro. Just ask her 20 questions.
Everybody. She was probably relieved he stopped talking baseball.
Everybody was talking about it at that time. That was like the big issue. And then we were talking about the election and, you know, Fahrenheit 9/11 by Michael Moore. Oh, was that a horrible movie or a good movie?
He had a decent run there.
What a decent run.
Michael Moore, what are you doing? He did the
bowling for Columbine. He did a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, he did a bunch of stuff. Let's go to Jerry in Westchester. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, Evan, this is for you.
Yeah.
So, you spent a long time of your life analyzing baseball, probably a little too much.
Fair.
But then you come up with some things that just don't make any sense.
Like, go ahead.
You don't understand the depth of it, and I'm going to tell you why.
Yeah, just explain it.
The Astros, The Astros have been the terror to get it. You know, they've been in the finals for how many years? Many years.
Well, they've been in the ALCS every year since 2017. That's what they've accomplished.
Okay, So they've been the team, you know, to beat. They've been the thorn in the Yankees' side, and so on. But that's it's a lot of the same guys. But that's not that team this year. This year, it's the Detroit Tigers are the team that would be more scary to face. Just like the Mets, if they beat Milwaukee tonight, the next team is going to be like, I think we'd rather face Milwaukee than the Mets.
I totally get that, and I agree with you on like a lot of it. Here's where we have a disagreement, and it doesn't matter because the Astros are out. The hot team scares me. But the constant team also scares me. So you're 1,000% right about what the Tigers look like right now, something you could feel building over the last couple of weeks. You're right about the Mets. Hopefully they continue to be that team. And certainly Arizona did that a year ago. 1,000% right. But the Houston Astros have put together such a level of incredible consistency between 2017 to now that I had respect for them to assume they're going to find a way to get there.
Yes.
And despite all the roster changes, well, guess what? They had a lot of roster changes between 17 and 22. They had a different manager, too. They had a manager that was known to be one of the biggest choke artists in the history of baseball in the great Dusty Baker. And then he won a World Series. So I agree with your point about hotness. It's a point I've made for years now. It's that the Astros' consistency, for a while, reminded me of the closest thing we've seen to the late 90s Yankees. Now, I'll admit, they never got to the late 90s Yankees. They made it relatively close. They made a push. I think losing 6-7 last year to Texas, certainly getting knocked out in the wild card series, they had a great run. It appears like it's dwindling towards the end. But don't get my respect for the constant confused with, hot teams in the playoffs. Crazy crap happens.
I mean, that's kind of what makes it the playoffs, though.
Yeah.
That's why it's been so exciting the last couple of years, because it doesn't matter who's hot in the regular season. It's who's hot in the playoffs.
Getting hot at the right time.
And so you just have to be hot at the right time. It's the new dynamic for Major League Baseball that happened probably 4 or 5 years ago. And so now it's anybody's game. It's like there's a equity. There's an equality that happens for some reason.
Well,
it used to not be that way.
No, you're right. And here's the other thing. And Sean just reminded me. So this did not even pop into my head. Sean did. He said, into my ear, remember the Tigers sold Jack Flaherty at the trade deadline? And I'm like, holy crap, he's right. So the Detroit Tigers, they never sold Tariq Skubal. They sold one of their best. They sold the guy who started game one for the Dodgers.
And they were trying to with Skubal.
They were open to it, yeah.
Yes.
I just sent a text message to my friend who's a diehard Tiger fan. Are you okay with me congratulating him? Because I heard Gio talking the other day saying, don't congratulate someone. You didn't do anything. I'm a big congratulations guy. Like BT congratulated me when the Mets won that crazy game the other day.
Mm-hmm.
So you're good with me texting my boy Patrick saying congrats, bro?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. Congrats, bro. He's pumped up. Big Tiger fan.
What do you think the Astro fans are thinking when they walk out of work and find out the season's over?
When's that divisional series start?
They're thinking we're not there. Thank God we have CJ Stroud. I think that's more the focus in Houston, right?
Yeah, quick pivot. You got to do it. And the other thing is, I think, and I don't know what this feels like. You actually would, Sean, not me. When you've won a lot, doesn't it make it easier to say, all right,
next year? It's easier to say, we'll get it next year. Or, we'll be back. We'll
not,
be right
not,
back.
Or not even we'll be back, but just like, I won the World Series a few years ago.
You're right, because that luster does add. Just a quick follow-up on last year, a topic we had when Evan and Tiki first started. Astros dynasty, where are we at?
Well, I just explained it to Tiki about 2 minutes ago. I said that. I said that, I'll repeat it for you. I know you work very hard back there, so you may not have heard this.
Yeah, I'm pulling some stuff.
So what I just recently said about the Astros was they were on the doorstep of challenging the dynastic Yankees.
Yes.
And to me, losing to Texas a year ago, game 6 and 7, they've clearly come up short. They're the closest thing we've seen since the Yankees, but I think it is clear as day these last two seasons have proven, while they had a great run, not the dynastic Yankees. So I just said that. Yeah, I'll say it again for you.
They've lost 7 straight home playoff games, too.
Which is crazy. That is crazy. And not only
right? When nothing can go on at home, you don't win those games.
But Sean, not only that, in 2019, they lost the World Series to Juan Soto and the Washington Nationals. The road team won every game in that World Series. So that's been kind of a constant with the Astros. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I don't think I realized that.
Yeah. Only World Series where that's ever happened.
Houston, they have a problem.
Are you making cheating references or something?
I would never point a finger like that, Evan. You know me.
Seems like you are.
It's worth asking the questions. Why are they always losing home games?
They did win the World Series 2 years ago.
Why since are they losing home game?
So they cheated again, then they stopped cheating?
Just a piece of metal. I don't know.
You're very bitter about this still.
Look, you take away a crown from me, I'm going to be unhappy with it.
Okay. Let's go to Pablo in Dover, New Jersey. What's up, Pablo?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. How's it going?
Good.
Real quick, with the Mets. Mets have a golden opportunity tonight to reset the craziness of the schedule and the disaster of Monday. They win today. They get 2 days off, traveling to Philly to train ride. They have a great chance to actually make a run at this and just reset the disaster of the schedule. Get it done tonight. Let's go, Mets.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I'm with you, man. I think it's very important for a myriad of reasons they win this thing tonight.
Right. It's important. It's interesting because you didn't think about it until he just said that the next series, which will be against Philly, is quick. It's not travel. It's not exhausting.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's something to that.
There's also something to getting a couple of days off. I mean, this has been just constant since the rainouts where they played the 3 big games against the Brewers. They got to fly to Atlanta and play 2 games with all the emotion. Then they got to go to Milwaukee. I think it's important for a few reasons to get this thing done tonight. Besides the fact that I think if you allow a team that clearly to me was pressing at the end of last night's game and feels the heat of what happened to them last year when they lost in the first round of Arizona, if you give them any level of confidence, any level of hope, they become an incredibly dangerous team tomorrow afternoon or tomorrow night whenever they play. But then the other thing is if you win, you get 2 off days, and it does reset the bullpen like you talked about. Now Edwin Diaz gets to rest and not pitch for 2 days, and that's huge. But more than anything, it's getting the job done because I think right now the Met fan has a level of confidence and, you know, relaxation. Now, that'll change once the game starts. It's a playoff game. They lose tonight. That relaxation goes out the window because then it becomes hectic. Stay tuned for Baseball Night in New York, presented by Tri-State Cadillac. That's coming up next on SNY. A.J. Hinch, the former manager of the Houston Astros, the current manager of the Detroit Tigers, as he was preparing the champagne celebration, said, quote, "I'm not sure who, but somebody let the Tigers get hot." Well, that's a good one. I like that. Don't let the Tigers get hot. And you can mark my words. I said this 5 days ago. I'll say it again. They are going to the American League Championship Series. If the New York Yankees are going to exorcise the demons of finally going to a World Series, they're going to have to get past the... By the way, speaking of which, Lugie, can you keep the growl that Sean did when they eliminated the Astros?
Yeah, no problem. And I'll play the one that we did for the Panthers when they beat the Rangers.
Irrelevant.
Yeah, that one doesn't work because that was a Panther thing, so it was against Sean.
Yeah.
Now we have Sean doing the growl in excitement, and now we may have to use it against him at some point.
But give it to me. Give it to me one more time there, Sean.
I love how he willingly does it.
How about meow?
Well, that's just because Lugie didn't want to go back and find it.
That's exactly it. That was peak laziness.
I would have gone back and found it. It's not a big deal.
For the audience that didn't hear it 10 minutes ago, they get to hear the growl again. Sean, give it to him again.
It was more like an hour and a half ago, but it's all good.
That's
Scooby-Doo. Where are my Scooby snacks? Laced with weed.